Thank God. It's amazing. This is going to be an interesting service. First off, I was so lost already in it, Derek had to come and said, you know, a microphone would be helpful. I had to go get the microphone. I've already received two prophetic words, and two and a half, because I don't know who the other one's from, but it is from the Lord. But it's interesting what's going to happen today. And it's a good follow-up to what the Lord delivered through Hans today. I appreciate transparency. Don't you appreciate transparency? Aren't we tired of people trying to appear something that they're not? And it's better to just be who we are. We're free to be who we are. I heard a good message. Oh, that was Hans. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me just share with you a little bit about how the Lord works with me. You might like this. I felt like the Lord wanted me to get alone, a little quiet time in between the service. So I went in the, whatever we call that, snack room over there. That's the evil room where some person brings donuts. Now, I pray forgiveness for you every time because the battle is on. I walk in there and it's instant war. Now, we love you, whoever's doing that. But it's a test for my flesh every time. Gary, how many times you winning? Going on with the message today. Anyway, I went into the snack room just to get a little quiet time. And the Lord began reminding me of two things that I hadn't thought of. And I know last time I thought of them, 1993, that's a spell. Thank God for computers and where you can search for things and bring things up quickly because I'd get a few words, you know. And of all things, one of them he had me pull up had to do with something with my daughter Angie, who's here today. The title of this is Ask and You Shall Receive. Okay? Someone passed a note up who had no idea that I just read that 10 minutes ago or maybe 20 minutes ago in the break room. Break room, that's a good name for it. And I'll read it to you here in a minute. Ask and you shall receive. But someone passed this note up to me. I don't know who. It says, what can I do for you? You don't have because you don't ask. I have met your needs. But I'm talking about what can I do for you? And ask, believe, and I will give you what you want. Now see, since I don't know who it came from, I'm most likely, this is how Gary operates, I most likely would have folded that nicely, very politely, put it in my Bible and not read it. Except, 15 minutes ago, I had read, ask and you shall receive. So let me read this to you. Now, in order for you to understand this, most of you know my mother's 100 years old. She has many grandchildren and now great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchild, one great-great-grandchild. And she loves them all. My mother is a love with legs. She really is. And nothing bad ever comes from my mother. And she loves all of the grandchildren the same. But just so you'll know, Angie, raise your hand. I think everybody knows you. My daughter Angie, her granddaughter. When my mom passes, you know, when she's 120... Angie has already asked if she could have my mother's wedding rings. And she asked a long time ago. When did she ask? 1993. So the Lord knows I knew that. And I don't even know if I've ever read this to her or not. I don't know. I was still in the trucks. I was still driving. And I was driving and praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit said to me, your mom does not love Angie more than the other girls. I thought that was a strange thing to say. But reverently, I said, I know that. Then he said, nor does she think Angie is more deserving than the other girls. Again, I said, reverently, I know that. Then the Holy Spirit said, your mom is giving her wedding rings to Angie because Angie asked for them and the other girls did not. Immediately, my mind went to the words of Jesus in Luke 11, verses 8 and 9. Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The word importunity, if you look it up in Strong's, it is the opposite of coming with downcast eyes. It is the opposite of shamefacedness. The actual definition is, the Holy Ghost definition that he gave me, you know you have a right to ask. Getting back to Mom and Angie's situation, however, now it would not have worked for a neighbor or a neighbor's child to come and ask for my mom's wedding rings. She wouldn't give them. Angie had a right to ask because she's part of the family. That relationship is essential. A neighbor's child could have asked for a lot of things and Mom would have given them to her. You know, candy, ice cream, anything. But not the wedding rings. Too precious. Reserved for the children. Now, Jesus says, what things soever you desire. What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them. And you shall have them. I wonder how many things we don't have simply because we don't ask. How about all of us making a determination, I'm going to be a better asker. I'm going to be a better asker than I have in the past. If you need it or want it, ask. And he says it will be given to you. All right, so that's number one. That's one of the things that happened before the service. Isn't that interesting? Don't you find that interesting? Okay. Now, I want to ask Mark Cooper to come up and share. He said he had something he would like to share. Okay, I'll tell you the second word that I got. The second word. Well, and one reason that I'm just, okay, when it's God, you know. But Mark had volunteered. He said, now, if the Lord brings it to you, or, you know, Mark is very humble and never forces anything. But you guys probably just don't know the level of study and word level that's in this man. But he said, you know, I have something, a few minutes I'd like to share. And so the other word that I got is from, raise your hand, Jerry. It's his fault. He leaned over to me and said, your job today is to encourage, with Jerry's voice, I'm trying to, your job today is to be bold and encourage the body of Christ. That's what God's called you to today. I went, yes, sir. So I'm going to find this other word to encourage you while Mark comes and gives this word of encouragement or whatever it is you want to share. Preach, take the whole hour, cast out devils, be sure and get them all. Heal the sick, we don't care, do whatever. I'm going to find this other word while he's doing it.
The last few days, the Lord has been bringing something in my mind. It keeps going over and over and a lot of times when that happens, I think, Lord, is that really you or is that just me thinking? And I usually talk myself out of saying anything. You know, I said, no, that was just me. But Hans this morning, some of the things that he said made me think, okay, Lord, I'm going to get up and say something. And by the way, if you weren't here for the early morning service, make sure you get that tape or CD or whatever. It was excellent. One of the things that he said was to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to renew our minds to God's word to the point that we truly believe it and can walk in it. a lot of times I think as Christians we think, well, you know, that's for the ministers, that's for, you know, that's not me, you know. And we have this mentality of just being spectators, you know, just coming to church. But God wants to use everybody. He wants us to press into the place, you know, of Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Kenneth Hagin. He wants revival to break out. And that's what we're contending for at the prayer center, is revival. But not just for a few people. He wants everybody involved. I think one of the things that keeps people from entering in is we need trailblazers. We need people that enter in so that we know that it's possible. And he brought something to my mind. Back in the 1960s, nobody had ever broken the 4-minute mile. Ever. Until one man by the name of Jim Ryan did it in 3 minutes and 51 seconds. And after he did that, all of a sudden, everybody started breaking the 4-minute mile. He was the trailblazer. He showed that it was possible. And once people believed that it was possible, then they pressed in and started doing it. The thing that he gave me . We're contending for revival at the prayer center. That's what we want. We want all of these kids healed. But it's not just for other people. It's just not for Gary or Alan. God wants to use everybody. And what he gave me was to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I want you to let this be in your mind. Have the mindset. Somebody has to press in. Somebody has to blaze that trail and start walking in the miraculous. And I want you to put it in your mind. Somebody's got to do it. Why not me? And declare and decree that. Believe that in your heart. Why not me? Overcome the negativity, any negative feelings you have or inadequacies or anything else. And just say, somebody has to do it. Why not me? That's it. Thanks.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Amen. That's exactly what God's doing in this generation. Say it. Hold your hands out in front of you. These hands will be laid on the sick.
Will be laid on the sick.
And they will recover.
And they will recover.
Through these hands.
Through these hands.
These hands belong to Jesus.
These hands belong to Jesus.
These hands are his hands.
These hands are his hands.
And he still heals today.
And he still heals today.
He heals through these hands.
He heals through these hands.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now get it straight. Get it straight. That's coming. That's coming. I want to show you, I think the reason he wants to include this also, and again, it goes right along with Hans' message this morning, which is the Lord's message, we know that. See, he's trying to get us to get over ourselves. Who is God here? We are the vessel. Now, there is purging and things that has transformation that has to happen. But in a big part of it is just get out of his way. Now, I'm going to be transparent also. Things here I probably shouldn't read if I was trying to look big in your eyes. Let me just tell you ahead of time, there's two things in life that, to me, if those are in front of me, I have nothing to do. One of them is yard work. There's nothing to do. Yeah, but your lawn is knee high. I have nothing to do. I hire a service to do ours, just so you'll know. And the other thing I'm not called to do that I am terrible at is any type of mechanic work. Now, I'm an engineer. I can design an engine, but I can't fix it. There's a big difference between knowing how it works and fixing it when it's broke. So, many years ago, now this also is in 1993. This is right in the middle of the time when money was staying away in great abundance. In fact, we hadn't even really quite stepped out yet. I was still driving the trucks when this happened. But boy, we were living on a shoestring. We didn't have much. And at the time, we had an old Mercury Grand Marquis. This thing looked like the Titanic coming down the road. Huge car. And the blower that blows your heat and air, the fan went out. And on a, Chevrolet, it's easy. I can change one. Now, even I can change one of those. They're out underneath the hood, and you can change that thing in about 30 minutes. Even I can do that. Grand Marquis, it's inside the firewall. It's under the dash. You literally have to disassemble the dash, remove it, and then get back in there. I mean, I called to see how much it would cost, and we're talking 1993. They wanted $700. 1993. So what would that be today? Because it's like an all day deal. Well, I had more time than I did money. Here I go. So I'm tearing into that thing. Don't know what I'm doing. It's amazing to me that anytime I ever fix anything, I always have extra parts left. But it always works. I remember I wrote a letter to Carter. Carter used to make 4-barrel carburetors, and I actually overhauled a carburetor to my 55 Chevy many years ago. And I wound up taking it apart, cleaning it, putting it all back together. And that's a long time ago. But I had like a spring and two screws left. I put them in an envelope, mailed them to the company and said, you don't need these. Cause it works fine without these. You don't have to have them. Quit. You can save some money. Well, so I wrote this right after I did disassemble. I mean, you ought to have seen it. I had dash and parts all across the lawn, trying to remember how everything goes. I was trying to lay it in sequence so I could put it back, and I didn't. Oh, it was awful. It was awful, but I finally did get it back together. Never quite worked right, and the right window never worked after that. But anyway, the thing would blow, but the window wouldn't work anymore. So I was driving to Phoenix, and I'm still driving the trucks, okay? I've been driving to Phoenix, and I've been praying in the Spirit for about 12 hours, say 12 hours, without hearing anything from the Lord. And I was thinking how thankful I was that the air conditioning and the heater in Sue's car was fixed. I'm really talking about the blower fan. But I was disappointed in myself for getting so frustrated during the repair process. More than once, I got so frustrated that I cursed. What? Kicked the car? Kicked at the cat? Cat was too quick for me. Talked really short to Sue. And even told my boss, Gerald, I told him off once on the phone. It's not good to tell your boss off. He was my dispatcher. I thought to myself, there are two things I really hate. One is being late for anything. And the second is having to perform or do something in an area where I do not feel competent. As soon as that thought was solidified in my mind, instantly the Holy Spirit said, I'm just going to read it like it is, okay? That's why I have not yet been able to give you victory in the financial realm. Do you plan on overcoming the financial sharks by your own competence? Have you studied diligently financial principles your whole life like they have? If you compete with these sharks in your own strength, they will have you for lunch. Learn from King David. He was a man of war, as are you. Before he went out to challenge Goliath, he went to the brook and he gathered 5 smooth stones. These 5 stones represent my grace. David did nothing to earn them. He had not previously stored them there to be used at some later date. They were available to him free for the taking. And they had already been prepared for the battle through no effort on David's part. His responsibility was to gather them from the brook and keep them with him ready for use. That is exactly what you are doing now by praying in the Spirit and writing down the revelations. Eventually, those revelations will evolve from being teachings to words of knowledge and words of wisdom. In the financial realm, you will simply know things that you have no way of knowing. See, if you've got a calling, if your calling, part of it or all of it, is the simplicity of giving, that's a calling no less than evangelism or anything else. That's Romans 12. If you don't know where it is, you'll find it in Romans 12, a little further down than where we normally teach. So in the financial realm, you will simply know things that you have no way of knowing, and you will have the wisdom to know what to do when all of the experts are wringing their hands in confusion. Now, in order for this to happen, you must become better at hearing my voice. Since you so desire to be competent, then become expert at hearing my voice and obeying my commands. Give all diligence to my written word and my speaking word. Neither one without the other, for therein is safety. Never act on one witness alone, but by two or three witnesses make your decisions. Son, I am already withholding no good thing from you. How many believe that? He's not withholding. I am answering your prayers, but you so often fail to recognize my voice. My thoughts and ways are higher than your ways. What I say often seems like nonsense to you because so much of your mind is still unrenewed and is carnal. Now, at the time, we had a cat named Mitzi. Mitzi loved Gary. We had another one named AC. Mitzi loved Gary. AC loved Sue. When we both sat down, Mitzi instantly got in my lap and AC got in Sue's lap. That's just the way it was. And Mitzi would talk to me. Y'all, your pets talk to you, don't they? Meow, 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 meow. You know, cat talk. He said this. He said, Mitzi's talk, quote, seems like nonsense to you, but she is communicating. I understand everything she says. I had never had that thought in my life. But think about it. Obviously, the cat is communicating. Otherwise, it wouldn't be doing what it's doing. He's going, I know what she's saying. He says, I understand everything she says. Now, here he's going to mention something I'll have to explain to you because it's an event in my life. Now, be honest now and remember back to Angie's coil wire. This is Angie Day. We're telling stories with Angie in it. I definitely gave you the instruction to put that coil wire on her car, but you disregarded it. Now, what he's talking about. And Angie, this is 93. So if I get it wrong, here's a mic. But all I know is her car wouldn't start. And I'm not a mechanic, but I've had enough experience with cars. Normally when they won't start, it's either gas or electric. Well, it was dead like dead. I mean, you know, when you turned the key, it didn't even flutter, nothing. So I'm thinking it's a battery problem. So I'm doing all the battery things. I'm checking the wires. I think I took the cables off and I cleaned them just to make sure that there wasn't any buildup of that green stuff, you know, gets on oxidation, whatever that is. And putting it back on there, I'm doing all the battery stuff, and I went around to get a tool out of the trunk of my car, and laying there was a coil wire. Now, I don't even know if cars today even have coils anymore. They used to have a thing called a coil that went from the coil to the distributor cap that had this wire that connected it from the coil to the distributor cap. And I don't even know if they have that anymore, but then they did. Well, we also had a Bobcat tractor, same kind of setup on that engine. It had a coil wire that went from the coil to the distributor cap. And for some reason, I forget now why, but I had an extra coil wire in the trunk of my car, really from the Bobcat tractor, if I remember right. And I opened my trunk to get some kind of tool working on her car, and I saw that coil wire, and it was like a flash, like an instant, just the fastest thought you can imagine, put that on Angie's car. But it was so quick and had nothing to do with the battery. I overrode it. Well, after a lot of frustration and trying and different things, I don't remember now how it happened, but somehow, some way, somebody had the idea. Maybe it's the coil wire. And I don't remember now if we put that coil wire or if a mechanic did. All I know is a coil wire fixed the problem. Put a new coil wire on it, vroom, started right up. So he's telling me, that was me. Gary, that was me. I told you, put the coil wire on the car. How did he put it? You disregarded it. I go, me talking now. He's right. I do remember that the first thought that was in my mind when I picked up that coil wire was to put it on Angie's car. But it was so fleeting, like a millisecond. And then my mind immediately overruled it with, I've never heard of a coil wire keeping a car from starting, but that's because I'm stupid. I'm not a mechanic. Probably any mechanic would tell you that, but I didn't know it. I'm just thinking battery stuff. It all happened so fast, like at the speed of thought, faster than I can even say it. But see, I can't afford those kinds of mistakes once we're warring in the financial realm. If I did the same thing then, made that same kind of mistake then, while trying to fix Sue's car or Angie's car, then it could be catastrophic. Okay. So my way wouldn't work and frustration results. So the Lord continued. Learn another lesson from David. This is the Lord talking now. He drew on my grace to bring the giant down. With a sling and a stone, he brought the giant down using weapons I had provided. But notice, he used the strength of his own arm and Goliath's own sword to cut his head off, strip him of his armor, and plunder his goods. It is not hard to plunder the enemy's goods once my grace has prostrated him before you. Remember, my grace brought the walls of Jericho down, but Israel had to finish off the enemy. My grace split the Red Sea, but Israel had to walk across. You'll be very busy. There will be much for you to do in the natural, but always after my grace has obtained the victory for you. Is this okay with you all? There's only 6 more pages. No, I'm teasing. There's 2-3 more paragraphs. Now, y'all got to understand, this is 1993. We've only been here since June of 92. But what's causing this? Because we were Christians for 12 years before we ever started here. What's causing the flow like that? You can tell this is way beyond my knowledge, you know. What's causing this? Doing the message taught by Dave Roberson? I was playing catch up. I was in the trucks and he had me in the perfect job. I was getting paid to pray. So I could give it 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And I know not everybody can do that, but I could. Now it was all windshield time or virtually all of it. Don't tell me it doesn't work. It does work too. I'm, you know, mowing the lawn, doing the dishes, whatever it is you're doing. You know, if you're not eating or sleeping, you ought to be praying. Or talk. If you're not eating, sleeping, or talking, I guess, you ought to be praying. Okay. I'm just saying, I read this and I'm going, dear Lord, this was 93? And he's talking to me like this? But I know what he wasn't. Now see, he wants me to emphasize this. He wasn't talking to me like this before. I've been a Christian for 12 years. And I mean, committed. We were in the prison ministry, paying our own expense. Never occurred to me that anybody would ever help us financially. Out working, selling, you know, real estate, doing construction work, using our own money, use our own gas, get our own permits to go to the prisons and preach the gospel for free. Now, come on. That's fairly committed. All right? And not anything in it for us. You know, wasn't no notoriety, nothing in the paper, nothing. Why? Love of Jesus. Okay? Serving him like that, he never talked to me like that before that I can ever remember. Not until we started doing the message taught by Pastor Dave Roberson. See, Thank God for the new nature. I had the new nature. I had the new nature for 12 years. I really had the Holy Ghost. I could Shondai. I just wasn't Shondaiing. Because nobody had taught me there was any real reason to. I didn't know why. You know, if we ever said anything in tongues, it would be fleeting, like in a worship service or something like that. But it wasn't until we started hearing the message of Pastor Dave and what you're praying the mysteries and the Holy Ghost will teach you. Well, man, I got it in gear. I just started doing it. And all of this started happening. Everything Dave said would happen, sure enough, began to happen. I have a message for you. I'd like to recommend the message. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. I've been going through that first. If you go to daveroberson.org and you click on series, the very first one is called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power, The Companion Series. Oh, I've been listening to him again. No, I actually had the thought of playing lesson number 6. Instead of me teaching today, just play it. We'll all listen. It's that refreshing. It's still that good. It's that anointed. It's so, if you want to get strong, I recommend while you pray, just listen to those again. They're free. You can afford them. All right, back to this. I'm just impressed again. I'm reading this 93. I'm still in the trucks. Come on. He said Paul had to learn the same lesson. That's the Holy Spirit talking. He was doing his best to obey my instructions to preach the gospel. But everywhere he went, the enemy would stir up the Jews and the idol makers against him. He became very frustrated and 3 times asked me to deliver him from those problems. I told him what I'm telling you. My grace is sufficient for you. Now the church has taken that to mean just learn to live with the problem. The Lord will give you the grace you need to bear the burden. And real loud, he said, no, that's not what it means. What I mean is when the enemy rises up like a giant before you, I intend for you to be like David and go to the brook, gather some more stones, sling another stone of my grace at Goliath. Paul learned to do it, and so will you. He got to the point he actually looked forward to frustration, because that became his signal that it was time to draw on my grace. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It is on your weakness that the power of Christ comes to rest upon you. From this day forward, let frustration be a signal to you. When you sense it, it's time to go to the brook, gather some more stones of grace, sling them at your enemy. Remember the prophecy from your ordination, talking about when we were first ordained. That was in 86. This frustration is very good. That's what the prophet said to me. Stay in training. Do not worry about being late. I will do a fast work once the vessel is prepared. Start declaring victory even while you're gathering stones from the brook. Let your voice be heard in the realm of the Spirit. Be sure to walk in forgiveness toward all men, and let nothing hinder the flow of my Spirit. God. Then I heard this verse. I had to look it up. I heard Proverbs 18:4. I had to go look it up. It said, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. What do those 5 stones represent? You notice it said round? You know, stones in a brook start in a mountain. They started off somewhere near the top of a mountain, you know, millennia ago. Ice age or weather, whatever, chunks fall off, but they're jagged and sharp. Eventually, they might wind up in a stream. It may take 1,000 years of tumbling, breaking off the edges, rounding that stone, till you finally... You ever go to one of those rivers like in Colorado where they got those, the bottom of the creek or the river, it's got those perfectly, they look like eggs, you know, those rounded stones. They didn't start off round. They started off sharp and jagged like us. See, it takes a long time for wisdom to be developed. 5 is the number of grace. It's no accident that David got 5 stones. Now, this is free. I used to wonder, why 5? Did y'all know Goliath had four brothers? Did y'all know that? He had four brothers. David's ready for the next one. But see, wisdom, the wellspring of wisdom is as a flowing brook. Don't we say a babbling brook? Doesn't that sound like tongues? And the more you're praying in other tongues, God's wisdom is, your wisdom is getting tumbled and tumbled and tumbled and becoming the wisdom of God. And when you need it, you'll be able to draw on that wisdom. Draw one of those stones out of the brook and fling it against your enemy, and you're going to win every time. Good stuff. It's good stuff. I just love how the Lord does these things, though, to let me know, yeah, this is okay, and that's okay, and you don't need to know who it come from. It's me. Isn't that good? So I'm going to do one more that he brought to my mind. By the way, last week I had two lessons. This week I've got four. And I still don't think I'm going to get to do either any of them. So, what I'm going to read from now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is a prophecy that came through Pastor Bronk Flint in March the 8th of 2020, over a year ago. The title they put on this one is Subsequent Instructions. Remember, after the blueprint? And the subtitle, There Is No Earning This. Now, I'm going to start with this paragraph, but then I'm going to read part of the paragraph leading up to it. You want to be encouraged? You want to have some boldness? You want to be encouraged to keep coming to prayer and fasting? And the Lord says, you will be surprised. As I have said in other prophecies, you will wonder in the days ahead of how easy these things will be. And how that just effortlessly that you will be able to lay hands on the sick. It'll be like a drink of water, a breath of air. The strain of trying to push out doubt through the mortification of flesh, mortifying flesh or mind, trying to mortify mind, is not the appointment that I've given you. I've given you, as I said again in reference to other prophecies, I've given you the authority, and that you are to move out of that authority. And that place in you, yes, that place in which everything comes from the exuding of my anointing inside of you. Now get a picture. Exuding. It's coming from the inside of you. It's coming from the inside of you out. And it's going to become so easy. It'll be like taking a breath, taking a drink of water. Oh, a blind? Here we go. Blind child? Okay. Missing a leg? Do you understand that's what he's talking about? Now, the paragraph preceding that, and really, you should read the whole thing. They're all available. They're easy to find at bronkflint.org. Near the top on the right, there's a little menu bar thing. You click on that, and it's a title list, and one of them is prophecies. And you, by year, they've got them sorted there. This one is called Subsequent Instructions. Now that's what we want, where the miracles are flowing like water, right? Easy. Like taking a drink of water, taking a breath. How many looking forward to that? I'm really, really, really looking at it. When Victoria here is got, I lift it up for, we may have people watching that's not seen this. This is our, we ought to call it the possible box, not the impossible box, because nothing's impossible with God. But what we mean by impossible is in the world system, there is no medical place we can go. There is no help. For somebody born like Victoria here, this, of course she's in her 20s now, I think, born with a partial brain. It's a birth defect, born with a partial brain. She's got enough of a brain that runs her lungs and her heart and her body, but she can't tie her shoes, can't communicate really, can't learn language, can't go to school, can't eat on her own. That's not God's best. I don't think Jesus would leave her like that for a second. Okay? But there's nowhere on earth where we can take her to get that fixed. Same with, here's Tommy Perez, and of course he's much older now too. I believe with him it's cerebral palsy. Might be muscular dystrophy. Lynn, forgive me if I got it wrong. That's his mother. Now, Sue and I and Aaron flew there. You don't pay your own expense to fly to New York to pray for somebody because you think it won't work. I mean, don't tell me we didn't go there milking every cell in our body for faith. We did too. And we got the pastor to pray, Lynn to pray. But still to this day, Tommy Perez is still in a wheelchair. Now he's better off than Victoria. He's got more of a, you know, his brain functions way better than hers. He's happier there. He'll smile, enjoy your company, but he can't really talk with you. He can't get out of that chair. Now see, that's where we're pressing toward. That's the mark. And I thank God for this church. We will not lower the bar. We will not lower the standard. That is the mark we're pressing toward. And I believe it is His will, just like the Lord has said many times, this one is going to be Joel's army. And I don't care if you think you are the dirt under the little toenail on the toe of the foot of the body of Christ, you're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Because it's going to be Joel's army. I pour out my spirit on all flesh. So, the paragraph before this, because this is subsequent instructions. Well, we know what is subsequent. This came after the blueprint. The blueprint is full of instructions. And this year, what the Lord said, He said, whatever you did in 2020, do at least that in 2021. So there's a lot of instructions about prayer and about fasting and about worship and about the Word. Lots of instructions, but listen to what He says here. This is the paragraph preceding this, where the miracles are just flowing so easy. Do not take these applications as in law. Take them as in grace. Take them as an encouragement to come apart. Do what you can. Everything counts in the Spirit. Every moment of praying in tongues. Every moment of fasting. I really like that one. Skip breakfast. Glory to God. What did he say? Every moment of fasting. Normally when I get hungry, I just go to the fridge or and get something. Say, I'm going to fast that. I mean, you got to start somewhere. And he says, every moment of fasting. Every time you deny the flesh, say it another way. He says, every moment of meditation of my word. Everything counts towards the change of you. Dave would say over and over, it's not the legalistic number of hours that you put in that God fellowships with. No, it is the change that those hours produces in you. That's what He fellowships with. So everything counts. It all counts. So, well, I've got a job. You know, I've got a 9-to-5. I can't come on Wednesday to prayer. You know, we have people come after they get off work. And, okay, they can only come for an hour, hour and a half. Glory to God. Every hour counts. Every minute counts. So, well, I can't come at all. Can you pray at home? You know, the Bible talks about corporate prayer, and we're trying to do corporate prayer right now. But if you can't come, pray at home. Join us at home. Okay. So I'm going to read that again. Do what you can. Everything counts in the Spirit. Every moment of praying in tongues. Every moment of fasting. Every moment of meditation of my word. Everything counts towards the change of you. I have already done these things and laid them at your feet, and you'll pick them up in the days ahead. How about that? He's full of hope. The God of hope is full of hope. I like that. He's a hoper. See, faith without hope has got nothing to do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You better have hope. Anyway, you will pick them up in the days ahead. See, I say it with me. We will pick all these things up in the days ahead. We're going to walk in this. Because he said we would. Then he said this. He said, all of these things are going to grow like a snowball going downhill. And the inertia of it will grow. I like that. I like that. Now, turn to Luke 17:21. My message starts now. No, I'm teasing. I'm just going to introduce one of these today. I thought the service was going to go a whole different way, but I just work here. As you know, the Lord's been teaching me and having me teach recently on the tabernacle. And at this point, he's been having me focus more on the Old Testament tabernacle, not the Old Testament temple that Solomon built. And he gave me a simple little diagram that outlines the basics of the tabernacle. I'll show you that one in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews just for a moment. This might be important for somebody. But I saw it open to it. Hebrews chapter 8, I believe it is. Yes. And just verse 5. He's talking about priests, earthly priests, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. And here's what we're after. As Moses was admonished or commanded of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. That's Mount Sinai. God gave Moses explicit instructions, detailed instructions, how to build that tabernacle. Why? Because it is a type and a shadow of the true. God is. God lives in heaven. There is a temple. Let's say this. There is a throne we know that God sits on. And that throne is in a temple in heaven. And God gave Moses, you build this tabernacle. It is a type and a shadow of the true. This one is just a shadow on earth, but you got to build it the way I tell you, because every detail is important, because it illustrates the true in heaven, where God actually lives, right? Now, so the Holy Spirit's been having me teach a lot on that, on the tabernacle. We've put up some diagrams. There's still a PDF available if you go to our website and you can find it. Real quickly. Sometimes this is called the tent of meeting. It existed in three parts. There was the outer court. And actually there was a fence, a wall, even around that. There was a perimeter. So even that is the beginning of a separation from the world. Okay? You're outside of the fence or you're inside of the fence. But the average person could come in to the outer court. Okay? And in the outer court, there was only two things. One of them was the brazen altar. And that's, of course, where the lamb. If you brought a lamb or a bull or a ram, whatever it is you brought, that's where it would be slaughtered. Well, that's where everybody starts, is it not? With the blood of Christ. Amen? The other thing that's in the outer court is the brazen laver. It's a basin full of water. And so it's a type of two things. Number one, the blood of Christ, and the washing of water by the word. Amen? Well, the outer court is where your average normal person like us, like Dave would say, Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public could come. But see, it's exposed to the sky. It's open to the sky. The light that you walk, if that's the only place you ever come, the light that you walk by is pretty much still the light of this world. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb, and you're changed to some degree by the washing of the water of the Word, okay? But still, as long as you remain in the outer court, the light that you walk by is pretty much still the light of the natural world. I have so many relatives that are just like this. They are genuinely saved. They're born again. They're on their way to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. There's been big change in their lives. Most of them, they quit going to the bars. They quit womanizing. They quit gambling and all kinds of other things. But still yet, their thinking is so natural. You know, if the church needs money, you hold a bake sale. You know, if you need money, you get an extra job. I mean, everything is natural, natural, natural. And that's okay. I mean, it's a way to live. Okay, most people live there. Many people live there. Secondly, all right, and I got to speed this up because we're just going to introduce something new today. The second part of the temple, though, was called the holy place. Now, not the holy of holies, but the holy place. Well, it's a tent, basically. It's covered with multiple layers of different fabrics. There's no windows in there at all. And the last covering is the animal of a skin. In the King James, it says badger skin. In the Amplified, it says porpoise skin. I don't know where they got that porpoise in the desert. I'm just saying what it said. But you do know that animal skin, though, no light gets through that. I mean, so, and it's got you enter it by a thick curtain. Now, not the curtain that separates the Holy of Holies, but this is also a curtain. So the idea being, you can live your whole life in the outer court and you make heaven, or you can go deeper. But if you enter this inner court, no longer are you walking by the light of the world. You can't see that light anymore. It would be complete. There's no windows. There's no light in there at all, except the menorah, the golden candle. The seven candlesticks are in there. Now, what's that a type in a show? And also the showbread. That's where the golden table is, where the showbread was. It's also where the incense. There was an altar where the incense, which is a type of prayers and worship that would go up. Now, only the priests were allowed to go in there. Okay, only the priests. The common person was not allowed. But what's that a type of? See, we're all called kings and priests, right? But what's that a type of? Well, you've left walking by the light of this natural world. Now you're in a place where you're learning to live by the light of Christ. Christ is the life. He has lit your candle. You're learning to walk by the new nature and not how the world does things, how God does things. And, well, what are you eating? Well, you're eating the bread. Does that remind you of any verses? Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the manna. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you. That type. Well, we all know you become what you eat. So this is the room of transformation. This is Romans 12, where you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, but you're no longer conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, or Ephesians says, in the spirit of your mind. You're literally changing how you think. You're literally eating Christ when you partake of the word and prayer and worship and all the things we do. You're going through the transformation process. Why? So you no longer walk like the world walks. You're walking now according to the mind of Christ. But see, even there, you're still not in the presence of God. Now, don't get me wrong. God is everywhere. But there's another curtain in that room. And that one separates from the Holy of Holies. And of course, that's where the Ark of the Covenant is. That's where the mercy seat is. God's presence literally dwelt in there. Let me just ask you a question before I go any farther. Because you know what happens? If you go in that room, if you just take it upon yourself to go in there, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Only the high. So here's the question. Is there a difference in presence in the Holy of Holies than there is in the tent? Absolutely. Is there a difference in presence from the tent to the outer court? I think so. It's just like when God came down first on Mount Sinai. The people were at the foot of it. He said, don't come up to the top. Only Moses can come up here. Well, you look up at the top, and the presence of God looked like a volcano, even though Mount Sinai is not a volcano. But it's smoke and lightning and thunder and fire and crashing. It said a sound of a trumpet that got louder and louder. It was scary as all get out. Once they saw that, they didn't have to be warned. They said they backed way up. Backed way up. Would you say, so here's the question. God is everywhere, but would you say there's a difference in the level of presence at the foot of the mountain than there is at the top of the mountain? See, and what he's taking us into is a revival of presence. And I know that's why he's dissecting and giving us understanding of this temple thing. Because we have got to live in the we got to function with the very presence of God emanating from within us. That's that prophecy a while ago. Okay, now, this is all review so far. All right, well, you know what happened the day that Jesus died on the cross and he gave up the ghost. It says that that curtain that separated the holiest, the Holy of Holies from the holy place, this was in the temple now, but it says that veil, that 4-inch thick curtain was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. God's presence, you can go in there now, and if there was, of course, the temple was destroyed. But the point was, God's presence no longer lives in a temple made with stones. You are the temple of God now. Now, he's been teaching us about the temple using the tabernacle. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read down to here. Sometimes I can't improve on what I wrote. So the Holy Spirit has been teaching us much about the type and shadows of the Old Testament tabernacle that Moses built. And I've been teaching those revelations. For the past few mornings, my first thought on waking has been along the lines of this: the tabernacle within us. See, the tabernacle Moses built was based on the pattern of the true temple in heaven. There is a temple of God in heaven. There is a throne where God sits. But see, Jesus said, now did you find Luke 17:21? You thought I forgot. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within us, not external to us. Right? Now, you got to be careful of commentaries. If you look up the commentaries on that verse, many of them will say, no, what he meant to say is the kingdom of God is among you while he was here. Well, I like it when the Bible interprets the Bible. That word within, that particular Greek word within, only occurs twice in all the New Testament. Let me show you the other one. And it's Matthew 23:26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup. Would you say that means on the inside? Isn't that pretty easy? It's only used twice. So if it meant inside the cup here, then the kingdom of God is inside of you. He's not talking about something different. And I'm going, well, now, wait a minute. Okay, there's a temple in heaven. I know that's where God is. Like, let me just pick it up. I'm just going to read it. It'd be better for both of us. By the way, if you look up the Greek word, it's Strong's G1787, within, the first meaning is inside. It just means inside. So let's say it that way. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is inside you. Let's say it with me. The kingdom of God, is inside me. Okay. It seems to me the Holy Spirit is drawing our attention to the fact that there is a tabernacle within each one of us where the Holy Spirit lives. God the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. I'm also reminded that the Holy Spirit is also called by Jesus the Spirit of your Father. Remember that? When they bring you before the legal counsel, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say. The Spirit of your Father will tell you. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of your Father. So this tabernacle inside of us is where the Spirit of the Father resides. Now we're going somewhere. Now I noticed that Jesus, it says, would look to heaven when he would bless things like the bread. Plainly says he looked to heaven. Does he know where his Father is? He would look to heaven and ask for the bread to be blessed, and then he would begin to break it. Yet he would constantly say, it's not me doing the works. It is the Father in me, or he could say inside me. Well, he had to be referring to the Spirit of the Father. He had to be referring to the Holy Spirit residing within the tabernacle of Jesus. The body of Jesus, while he physically walked the earth, was the tabernacle of the Lord. Was the tabernacle of the Lord. You could call it a portable temple of God. I like to say, Jesus was the temple of God with legs. God could tabernacle with him. Wherever Jesus would go, he is a tabernacle. So I'm starting to look at the tabernacle more like, okay, we are the tabernacle, right? Well, aren't we a three-part being? We had an outer court, an inner court, and a holy of holies. Gee, I wonder if the outer court might have something to do with our bodies. It's like, yeah. I wonder if that inner court, sometimes called the holy place, where it's dark except for the light of Christ. Gee, I wonder if that could have anything to do with our soul. The renewing of the mind has everything to do with it. Oh, but what about beyond that curtain? Well, that's where God lives. What about in us? That's our spirit. See, this is where the Spirit of Christ becomes so important. I taught at Jim's conference, and I taught also here, following Jesus into the presence of God, because Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. And it's like I saw a little vision. It's, you know, there's no time in the spirit, right? We know Jesus was resurrected over 2,000 years ago, and I got born again 40 years ago. But see, there's no time in the spirit. And I remember Jim Martin years ago called me like a little kid that had discovered a new toy, something great. He says, Gary, the Greek doesn't say that in Ephesians where it says we were quickened together with him. It doesn't say he was quickened and then 2,000 years later we were quickened. No, it says we were all quickened at the same time. Now see, our brain has trouble with that, but God doesn't. So what I saw in this vision, as far as God's concerned, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. So he's the first one approaching God as a new creature. This firstborn, first man, resurrected from the dead species of man. And it's like he starts in the outer court, and it's his own blood that was shed, and the word. And he goes right on through the tent, the covered part. And I saw all of us. Every believer who ever was, is, or shall be, all of us were following in behind him. All like it happened at once. But he's taken us to the Father. And it brought a whole new meaning to me of no man comes to the Father but by me. He's talking about going into the Father's presence. And we were all right behind him. Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. We're through the outer court. We're going through the tent. And that veil, are you kidding? There's no veil anymore. And he goes right on into the presence of God. And Hebrews, in fact, let's go look at it again. Now, Hebrews 10 this time. Hebrews 10. Here it is. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Yes, sir, Jerry, boldness. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. By how you acted yesterday? By whether you kicked at the cat or didn't kick at the cat? Whether you were frustrated or not frustrated? How do you get in there? It's a new and living way. By the blood of Jesus. We can all go in there by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. I can't imagine how this sounded to the average Jew who never had the thought they would ever, ever be able to go into the Holy of Holies on earth, much less the Holy of Holies in heaven. And he's talking about in the spirit. He's not talking about after we die. He's talking about right now. We can enter into the literal presence of God in the spirit. We can do it. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart. I love this. In full assurance of faith. That thing I read where Angie came to get that wedding rings. She had a right to be there. She's a granddaughter. She's not a neighbor, she's family. I have a right to ask. She asked and she received. He's saying the same thing. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You have a right to be there. The price has been paid. The blood has been shed. You have a right to come right into the presence of God. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What got rid of your evil conscience? The sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Now there's going to be a lot more on this, but I'm going to share one more little nugget with you. Previews. And I'm learning along with you. I'm just sharing as I learn. And if we have to make adjustments along the way, so be it. But I saw in prayer yesterday, actually, while I was down here at prayer, just praying, just doing what, and worship, pray and worship. I saw another little vision quickly. Now, you know, Jesus would teach with parables all the time. He would use natural things to illustrate a spiritual principle. Did you know He still does that? So I was meditating on all these things because I know this all goes back to Luke 11. Revival is where we deliver the bread. Isn't that right? Revival is where we deliver the bread of heaven. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and so forth. Well, Jesus said, if you want that bread, you got to ask, you got to seek, and you got to knock. What's that a type of? Getting into His presence. Our Father is the bread. God is the bread, if you want to know the truth of it. But He delivers it by the Holy Spirit. The way He finishes that, we came after bread, but how much more will He give the Holy Spirit? Okay, so it has something to do. We came for bread, but we're leaving with more of the Holy Spirit. Something we didn't have before, otherwise there was no need to come. Now, I'm not saying, I already know we're baptized in the Holy Ghost. I know you can Shandai, so can I. But at this moment, I can't get Homer Betancourt's eyes open, and neither can you. If you can, I'll pay your way down there and give you $5,000 as soon as you lay your hands on Him and He can see. The only deal is, if you lay your hands on Him and He doesn't see, you got to give me $5,000. So far, I've not had any takers on that deal. But I'm happy to do it if you can do it. That's a small price for Homer to see. You know, I'm serious. But I don't mean, okay. Yes, sir. So I saw this little vision because I know it's got something to do with us getting into His presence. He's showing us how we can do it. It's by the blood. We literally in worship, and it's not just legalistic hours of worship, just like it's not legalistic hours of prayer. It's the change in us that He's wanting to fellowship with. But I saw it like this. I saw, believe it or not, I saw like a patient in a hospital. I've been in a hospital. Have you ever been hooked up to an IV? You're laying on the bed, right? And it's a gravity drip, so the IV has to be higher than you. And I saw Gary, or it could have been me, I don't know, a patient laying there. I need more of something. I need more life. I'm dying here. So they hook you up to a IV, which is above you. And then there's a tube that connects the IV to your arm usually. And that thing, as you spend time connected with the IV, what you need is flowing from there into you. And I went, you mean the more time that we spend in your presence in heaven, you're literally somehow the Holy Spirit, more of the Holy Spirit is flowing to us here on earth. Now, I don't totally get that yet, but He's trying to get it across to us, and that's pretty simple. See, eventually what was in the bag, thank you, what was in the bag is in you. Now, with Him, there's an inexhaustible supply. And really, with the hospital, there is too. They just bring another bag. But His bag don't ever go dry, I don't think. But there's something to do with this, where the more we spend time with His, like it says there in Hebrews 10, we can literally go beyond that veil into the Holy of Holies. Literally be in His presence. And the more we do that, that's Luke 11, ask, seek, knock. The more we go in there and spend time in His presence, the more His presence gets in us. That's a good start. It's a good start. I'm telling you, He is doing what He said He would do. He is explaining the mysteries to us. He's getting it across to us in ways that we can comprehend it. One last thing to encourage you, and I'm going to quit. I think this has been a good service, so I've enjoyed it. He said something to me, I'd have to go back and look, it's at least 2 or 3 years ago, might be 5. Any more when I think something was a year ago, it was 5 years ago. But within the last, it might have been 3 or 4 years ago, I was minding my own business, just doing what we do, praying in tongues, you know. And he gave me an instruction that is encouraging, but it was also really important for me personally. And you know, this is the way he does all of this, if you spend time with him. It's so encouraging how it started off. He says, if I remember right, this is the first sentence that he said. Now, son, when the miracles are flowing from your fingers like water. I'm going to stop right there. He started it off that way with me, talking to me. And I'm going, he's talking to me. When the miracles, so for him, he's saying this is a done deal. When the miracles are flowing from your fingertips like water, do not think that I have changed my mind and called you to be a traveling evangelist. You are a teacher in the body of Christ. I will send you here and there, but primarily you will stay and train others to do what I have trained you to do. Don't think I've changed your calling just because I've changed, just because the manifestation has changed. That's important. Because your first thought was, because people are going to be calling on you too. You know? I said, no, I'm going to send Hans. Nope. B's free this Tuesday. Can you have all the sick people there Tuesday? We'll send, B will be down there. We won't send, but B will come on Tuesday. And then Billy's going next week. Because it's supposed to be all of us. I mean, we're the vessels. I can say it differently. We're the tabernacle. We're the temple with legs. But he's the God who does it all. And he emanates from inside of us. So keep that picture. I've got it in me now. As I spend time in his temple above, more and more of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of my Father, is flowing into me. What connects us? You want to know what the tube is? It's not the Holy Ghost. For years I thought it was. No. The tube is the Spirit of Christ. He that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, the Holy Spirit can work with you, outside of you, if you're not saved. But he can't work in you unless you have the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit, that newborn Spirit, that Spirit of Christ in you, is what connects you to the Father. I got to quit. Father, we thank you for your word. It is amazing what is in your word. And we thank you for this precious gift, tongues for the believer. The simple gift of edification that you gave us. And thank God you gave us Pastor Dave Roberson to lay it out for us. Lord, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor. We thank you for everything that you're giving us. And Lord, we are sure looking forward like you're looking forward to the day when the miracles are flowing from all of our fingertips like water. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Beware distractions. I've never seen the like of distractions in my life. If the devil can't stop you, he'll squirrel you. You know what squirrel is? Anybody ever see that movie Up? Nobody seen the movie Up? Yeah, I see you liars. You watch TV. It's a cute movie. I like that movie. It's a cartoon. But there's this dog in it. And he's a friendly, nice dog, and he's very friendly. But you try and get him to do anything, and squirrel, he's gone. Squirrel. Boy, if that's not what the devil's doing right now, not only my own, and talk about it. Okay, I got a witness here. Anybody else having a little squirrel? Yeah, okay, we got squirrel trouble all over the building here. Don't be distracted by the squirrels. Just handle it quick. Get back to prayer. Okay? All right. Thank you. Thank you.